Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 28th day of August, 2023. Let me start off by once again thanking all of you, the hundreds of you in my audience who have been assuring me that you are praying for my older brother Andy in the nursing home, who is still not completely out of the woods, battling a very deadly blood condition known as sepsis, but it appears that the antibiotic treatments are keeping the sepsis at least at bay, and there is no obvious or apparent decline in his health at this point. We ask of you to please continue to pray for not only physical healing for him, but also that he would make a profession of faith that is crystal clear and believable, so that I may have peace of mind and heart if the Lord were to take him off this earth into eternity. And I desperately want to have confidence that he will be with Christ for eternity. So please pray in that regard as well, and I will keep you updated. But I'm very excited about having a returning guest on today, Reverend Christopher I. Toma, who is senior pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church of Heartland, Michigan. He's director of the annual The Body of Christ in the Public Square Conference, a speaker at various political conferences, Right to Life and Lutherans for Life assemblies, and theological symposia, partner with Tier 1 thinkers, frequently sharing the stage with prominent newsmakers such as Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, Dinesh D'Souza, Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, and others. He is the author of a number of books which have received notable endorsements from Charlie Kirk, Sheriff David Clark, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, and others, and recipient of a Distinguished Fellowship Award from Salt and Light Global Wilberforce Academy, an extension of the Great Lakes Justice Center. Today we are going to be addressing a topic that is sure to stir up some controversy in my audience, because I know that we have listeners on both sides of the coin in the area of the Two Kingdoms theology. But we are addressing matters of church and state, one pastor's approach to an issue dividing Christians in a divided nation. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Reverend Christopher I. Toma.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me back.
Why don't you remind our listeners and even inform our listeners who haven't heard you on the program yet about Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church of Heartland, Michigan.
Well, we are a what you would call a confessional Lutheran congregation. We are a congregation that adheres to the historic rites and ceremonies of the church of all ages. So if you were to walk into our congregation and sit down for worship, you would experience things that the church has experienced throughout the ages, such as making the sign of the cross, lots of things like that. We wear vestments. We enjoy quite a bit of these historic things. Some folks would say it's a little bit too Roman Catholic. I would simply say it's Catholic in the sense of the small C. So that's kind of a bit of the flavor of our efforts. We also have a preschool through eighth grade school, a tuition-free school. We're proud and pleased by God's grace to provide that to the community around us. And we, as a congregation, we are, which we'll get to probably here soon, we are very much so engaged in the public square around us, doing what we can to be on the front lines for religious liberty in America and across the world.
And I think it's probably important to mention, especially since the name of your church may be deceiving, since you have the word Evangelical Lutheran in your church name, your congregation is a member of the Missouri Synod Church, Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod.
Correct.
And that is certainly an infinitely more conservative and biblical denomination than the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Right. We, you know, the so many denominations and so many churches hijack words, and the word evangelical is a beautiful word. And we were not about to give that up in our title. So we maintain it. Of course, it is interesting how folks, we're on a main thoroughfare where we dwell, and folks will be driving by and they'll pull in and they'll think they're coming to an ELCA congregation, and then they sit down in the pews and realize, wow, this is not an ELCA congregation. They're actually telling me, they're actually calling sin a sin, and they're saying that the Word of God is inspired, and they're saying all of these crazy things. Yeah, and their pastor is a man. That's strange enough to them, too.
And the pastor not only identifies as a man, he is a man.
That's right. We've covered all our bases.
Yes, I visited a local Evangelical Lutheran church, Elka Church, a couple of years ago when they had apparently this singing group, a cappella singing group, is a regular visitor to this church, I think on an annual basis, and they were excellent. They were not Elka. They were conservative evangelical Christians, and I have a feeling that the church invited them every year because they were all black, and therefore an all black singing group could be more palatable, perhaps, to a liberal congregation, no matter what they were saying or singing. And the lead singer in this group boldly proclaimed the true gospel and gave a call to repentance to those in the audience. And I remember sitting there thinking, I wonder if that's the very first time this congregation ever heard the gospel, with a woman pastor, by the way. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. An interesting, fascinating experience. But today we are addressing, as I said at the outset of the program, it's a very controversial issue, the issue of the two kingdoms theology. It has divided Christians even within the same theological framework, the same denominations or fellowships or even congregations. First of all, I think I'm going to take a question from a listener right now. I usually don't take a listener question this early, but I think it really helps set the stage for what we're about to address. It's also a question from a fellow Lutheran pastor who I've actually had on my program, Pastor Evan McClanahan of First Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, asks, when does an issue move from being a state-only issue to being one the church can address, i.e., by what standard does an issue change from the realm of politics and move into the realm of the church?
I would start off by saying right away that politics, the political sphere, is essentially a space of unavoidables, as some philosophers would refer to it, the unavoidables. And in the midst of those unavoidables, I would argue that almost every single one, not all, but almost every single one of the political topics that are almost always before us are Christological in nature. So what that means is, in a sense, there's actually very little going on in the political sphere these days that is not in some way connected to the church or within the wheelhouse of the church or something that you could even say the church owns. So if the church owns it, then they are obligated to be in it. Pick a topic. Of course, you can take the popular ones, take the topic of abortion, take the topic of human sexuality, take these topics. These are all Christological topics at mm-hmm. their heart. And because of that, the church is responsible for them and should be in them in some way. That might maybe blur the question that he's answering, but that is a good point of reference for discerning where you need to get involved. That state, federal, local, whatever. The church owns most of these topics and needs to be out in front on each one of them.
Well, thank you, Pastor Evan, and I look forward to your return to Iron Serpent Zion Radio as a guest. What were the compelling factors that led you to choose this topic, actually, for a theme of discussion today on Iron Serpent Zion Radio?
Well, one, I think we milked that 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor
program. I love that interview, by the way.
I didn't think you'd want to talk about any of my whiskey books. Those are quite popular, too.
And by the way, folks, I just want to let you know that I want to give you the date that program was on that we discussed his book, my guest's book, 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor. I interviewed my guest today very recently on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I think that everyone should go to listen to that interview as soon as you can, obviously after this live show is over. But if you go to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio archive, ironsharpensironradio.com, type in the search engine Toma, T-H-O-M-A, which is the last name of my guest, and that is the only interview that will come up, because that was the first time I interviewed Pastor Toma, and today is the second interview. So this obviously will not be up there yet, today's program, but I strongly urge you to listen to that broadcast, and perhaps some of my Reformed Baptist brethren, and primarily especially my Presbyterian brethren, in addition to the Lutherans listening, will want to find out more about my guest's whiskey books. I, being a former drunk, am afraid to even touch them.
Well, yeah, like I said, I sent you those complimentary copies. You can give those away.
I will.
Yeah, or leave them. Sometimes I'll, just for the heck of it, I'll leave one laying in a restaurant.
Well, you said something that was key. Because there are people, some of them well-intentioned, some of them even Bible-believing brothers in Christ, who will take the divide of church and state issues to an extreme, and they will even mistakenly say, you know, I don't want to hear sermons about abortion and homosexuality and transgenderism, even opposing those things from the pulpit of my church, because those are political issues. But they're not just political issues. They may spill over into that, and we hear about them every single day in the media. You can't escape it no matter where you go, whether it's TV or on the internet, magazines and so on. Why is it so important that Christians not abandon their post to declare these things to be from the pit of hell?
Well, it's incredibly important for some very basic reasons. One of them is how do you expect, and I'm speaking in a sense to pastors, how do you expect the people in your care to navigate these topics if they do not have the one that I'm assuming they would believe to have called as the expert on God's word in their midst? The person who should be teaching and preaching on these things is the pastor, and the people need to be able to navigate these things. If he's not doing that, they're going to have struggles, or they're going to get their information from somewhere else. And I would guess that a lot of that might be the internet assembled theologies that you can find just about anywhere and from everyone. And it might not necessarily be faithful. So it is crucial for the pastors to be talking about these things, to be leading the way. I sometimes will argue that if a pastor is actually not doing this, he's really only working part time, and they should cut his salary.
Well, you mentioned
all of these topics are inherent in the scriptures anyway. Mm-hmm. One of the arguments, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Chris.
No, go ahead.
There is the argument, pastors are to be in the pulpit and they're to be preaching and teaching the word. Amen. Who's going to argue with that? The thing is all of these topics are in the word. They're there. They're inherent to the texts. You don't have to go far and you don't have to exegize them. You don't have to impose on the text things that are foreign. All of these topics that we're dealing with right now are already there. The pastor who is taking time with the word, studying the word, preparing his homiletical event, if you want to call it that, he should have and will be digging into these texts in preparation. If he's aware of what's going on around him and is not living his life in a box somewhere, these texts are going to reveal these things. Christ will provide the information that's required or that's necessary.
Now, during our conversation before the broadcast, when you were actually selecting this as a topic, you had mentioned the two kingdoms theology that I had brought up earlier in today's show, a subject that definitely divides even closely linked, closely minded Christians who may be even the members of the same congregation. And tell me where you stand on that, because it is interesting that some folks might say that what you have said so far seems to put you outside of the camp of two kingdom theology, but I don't know if that is a fact or not. I know that I have met and heard proponents of two kingdom theology that do take a radical position of separating the content of our message from anything that is in the political arena. I'll give you an example. I know somebody, I won't mention his name because he may have changed his view. He's a well-known author and radio and television speaker and so on, who was espousing two kingdom theology. And he wrote in one of his books that one day when he was cashing his check at the bank, the teller, who was overtly effeminate, looked at the name on the check, which was revealing the ministry's name, and the bank teller said, "Oh, I guess you wouldn't like me too much." And the individual said, "Why do you say that?" And he said, "Well, I'm a homosexual, and I'm sure that your ministry is opposed to things like gays in the military, same-sex marriage, et cetera, et cetera." And the individual responded, "Oh, I have nothing to do with those issues. I'm a pastor and a preacher of the gospel. Those are political issues." I was very dismayed, deeply dismayed, when I read that. So if you could explain where you are and why you would obviously disagree with that proponent of two kingdom theology, why you would oppose his response.
Well, I think I explained it just maybe on the surface at the beginning. The two kingdoms theology, what we really need to do is have a handle on the difference between the two kingdoms theology and a lot of the other theologies that are out there, or the more prevalent ones. So a summary statement of the two kingdoms would simply be that God is over all. He's over both kingdoms, the kingdom of the left, the kingdom of the right. The kingdom of the left is the kingdom of the civil government. God ordains and he establishes the kingdom of the left. The Lutheran confessions describe the kingdom of the left as the kingdom that stems chaos, keeps order, protects the individual, protects the family, protects these kinds of things. The kingdom of the right is the kingdom of the gospel. Again, now remember, Christ is ruling over both. He's ruling over the kingdom of the left, the civil government. He ordains this. But the kingdom of the right is the kingdom of the gospel. It's where Christians are made. The state does not have the job by God to make Christians. And it goes the other way. The kingdom of the right does not have the job of running the government. That's not how it works. So now we run into the fundamental premise of the separation of church and state. The church is divided from the state in that sense. What one of the theologies that we run into in this problem or with this is the theology of dominionism. Have you heard? You probably know that term, Chris. Dominionism, where yes. the Christian church that you see the kingdom of the right impose itself on the kingdom of the left in a way where the Christian church believes that only Christians can rule the government. Only Christians should be elected. Only blah blah blah. That's a place where I would argue that's a bad idea. History proves in more than plenty or plenty of contexts where that's not a good idea. And I'll just say right out of the gate, if I am looking for candidates, I'm looking for those as a Christian who are most closely aligned with God's will. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now that I've found plenty of candidates. I know plenty of folks who are not even necessarily Christians who hold to the conservative biblical will of God more closely than folks who call themselves Christians.
Right, like Jimmy Carter, for an example.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter is a perfect example of this. So a Christian can choose the best candidate who's most closely aligned with the will of God. Dominionism is a bad idea. That's not what Two Kingdoms is about. Now, when it comes to the Two Kingdoms theology, there you can get into two other thought processes here. One of them is what's called accommodationism, which was typical to the early or to the founding fathers, as opposed to absolute separationism. Absolute separationism is the most common understanding of church and state separation these days, the separation of the two kingdoms. Most folks believe that the church absolutely has no point of connection to the civil government and vice versa. The civil government has no point of connection to the church, and they have to absolutely remain separate. That's not at all what the founding fathers thought of church and state. If you go back and you read their writings, much of what you have there is an accommodationist view, which means that the state understands the benefit of the church, and the church understands the benefit of the state. That leads you right back to the two kingdoms theology, recognizing that God has ordained both. Both have a job to do. Now, the job, these two jobs will often intersect with one another. Paul is the one in 1 Timothy who tells Timothy that he should pray, he should intercede, he should offer supplications, he should do all of these things for kings, for those in authority. An argument could be made for the Greek text there that this intercession that's happening is not necessarily a vertical thing, but rather a horizontal thing, because the term that's used there in the Greek is used in wider sources to mean direct dialogue with other people, exchanges, debates, things like that. So this is one example of a place where Paul is telling Timothy, engage with the state in ways that will do what? That will make it so that we can lead peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and in a dignified way. And then he says, well, why are we doing this? Because it's pleasing to God, and he desires that all would be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. So in other words, what is Paul telling Timothy? This engagement, both in a vertical and in a horizontal way, is for the benefit of the gospel. We want the government to hold to its ordination, to be faithful in this ordination according to the will of God, because in the end, that benefits the perpetuation of the gospel, and it perpetuates the salvation of people in the world. That right there is religious liberty. There are going to be these places where the church and the state actually meet. They're not necessarily black and white. There's going to be some gray areas where the church must step into the public square. And I would argue, it's possible, too, that the state will have to step into the realm of the church in the sense that if you've got some sort of a cult going around murdering people. You want the state to step in and help do its job. So I don't know if that helps, but that's just kind of off the top of my head explanation. The dominionism is a big problem, I think, in the church right now, in the sense that it muddies the water for a right understanding of church and state separation of two kingdoms theology. And it does it just as much as the absolute separationists who come along and say neither of these can work together.
And of course, dominionists are also represent a spectrum of thought. They vehemently disagree with each other on some occasion. But we're going to go to our first commercial break. If you want to send in a question to my guest, Reverend Christopher Toma, today, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Always give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own pastors over the issues we are bringing up, or perhaps you're a pastor yourself. You disagree with your fellow elders or your denomination or your fellowship. We would understand that those matters would compel you to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back with Reverend Christopher Toma right after these messages.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureCommGroup.com. That's SecureCommGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering this mind-blowing opportunity to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They're going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase. So whether you are purchasing a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or like taking your church logo, parachurch ministry logo, denomination logo, or seminary logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or other piece of jewelry, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take whatever is in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing piece of jewelry. I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over customizing jewelry, and you're assured it will come out exactly as you want it to because you are involved in every single step of the customization process. No matter where in the world you live, through the miracle of computer software, you visually see every phase of the customization process and get to make changes all along the way. And when that's complete, that phase is complete, they will send you a three-dimensional wax prototype of the piece of jewelry, exactly the same size and dimensions of the jewelry that you want created. So you're able to turn it at any angle, hold it in your hand, and just inspect it and so on, see the clarity of the design. And when you give your approval of that wax prototype, then they make the final cast and turn it into the jewelry that you want. So if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to royaldiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener. Go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com, and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Reverend Christopher I. Toma, senior pastor of Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church, a congregation in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Heartland, Michigan. And we are discussing matters of church and state, one pastor's approach to an issue dividing Christians in a divided nation. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Pastor Toma, just to clarify then, from what you have stated before the commercial break, you would be at odds with the anonymous author that I mentioned, who claimed to be an advocate of Two Kingdoms theology, in regard to his approach of being perhaps on the extreme end of separation of church and state, where he told the bank teller, not to worry, we're not involved in speaking out against gays in the military, same-sex marriage, et cetera, et cetera. Those are political issues. We just preach the gospel. Would you say that that was a misrepresentation of authentic Two Kingdoms theology?
I would, yeah. I would be at odds with him, and I would ask him, how can you preach the gospel and not end up in these areas? How can you preach the gospel? How can you preach the word of God when if you're facing a rejection of the word of God? The word of, to do that, to reject the word of God, is to reject the one who is the word made flesh. That's Christ himself. So to preach his gospel is to deal in these arenas. So yeah, I would be at odds with that. I appreciate the evangelical nature in the purest sense. We're bringing the good news to a world that's desperately in need. But that good news has contours. It has boundaries to it, in the sense that you have to define it. If it's some free floating analogous, you know, mush, what are you going to do? How are you going to deal with the folks who take it and run with it in that way? Yeah, I would take odds with that.
Okay, we have Raymond in Ottumwa, Iowa, who says, I know that you said that you're opposed to dominion theology, but if during an election cycle you see that candidates who are genuine Christians, who are very close in their platform to what you believe to be biblical, wouldn't you want to vote for them as opposed to an unbeliever that might hold similar positions?
Yeah, I think I made it clear that you want to choose the best candidate most closely aligned with God's will. And all I'm saying is that is not always a Christian.
Now, a question of my own when it comes to that, and perhaps after that, you can give us more details on why you are opposed to something that has been come to be known as dominion theology or dominionism. Where would you want the line drawn when it comes to Christian politicians who are demonstrating that they are genuinely Christian, who understand the Word of God, who have a platform that you're pleased with, at least up to a point, and this is where the point I'm asking you, where this would become uncomfortable for you, if at all. When would a Christian politician who is trying to pass laws and trying to get certain things illegal, passing laws that either confirm or affirm and perpetuate biblical theological understandings of how we are to relate to the world, biblical worldview, and of course prohibiting or making illegal those things that are opposed to a biblical worldview. Where would you draw the line on that?
Well, I think it would depend. I think what I was saying before is that you have to discern these things. If there's certain impositions, and I guess I couldn't even really say what those impositions might be, except, well, let's take, for example, the thing that comes to mind right now is Trump's position on abortion. If I'm just thinking of that topic, anyone in the pro-life arena is going to argue that Trump did more for pro-life issues than any president in the history of the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's done so much there. But if I recall correctly, he came out not all that long ago, maybe about a half a year ago, and he blamed his current situation on pro-lifers.
You know, really?
I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere.
I know that there are many so-called conservatives and Republicans in the media blaming the right to life folk, but I don't know if Trump did. Maybe he did, but I do know.
I think he did. I think he came out and he said that the hardliners on that issue caused problems for him. Now, whether that's the case or not, I don't know. But I do know that he has shifted in his position to where he's pressing. He's not looking at conception, protecting the unborn all the way
right,
to conception
right.
anymore. But there are candidates who are. So just in that, let's say just that particular issue, you're going to have to draw a line there. You're going to have to say, well, which one has that better message? Which one is more closely aligned with the Word of God? Well, in that circumstance, it might not be Trump. It might be somebody else. But you're going to have to discern those kinds of things. The matrix of these decisions, for one, let me back up. Takes, again, care from the pastors to be teaching on these topics, to be teaching where does life begin? Where, you know, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? What do these things mean? But then you're also going to have Christians who actually, they don't just sit in the pews. They study that word. They're involved in digging into the Word of God and navigating these things so that they can discern it. I don't know if I would necessarily draw a line. I think there's going to be some heavy-hearted discerning that has to happen in a lot of various arenas.
And I'm very pleased to hear your answer, by the way, because at least in a stereotypical idea of the Two Kingdoms theology, I'm sure that those who oppose what they understand of Two Kingdom theology would have assumed that you would have one of those softer, more accommodating views against abortion, just because of the fact that you are trying to avoid prevent the state from being too involved in those decisions. But I agree with you 100%. In fact, I want to let our listeners know, again, after this live show is over, if you want to look up an interview I did on the Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio Archive, I had Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries responding to Sean Hannity's warning to GOP candidates to soften anti-abortion rhetoric. Sean Hannity has been making me physically ill lately by constantly beating the drum that those who are against abortion for all reasons, or should I say against murdering unborn children for all reasons, are the reasons that the blame should be cast upon us for the loss of seats and elections for GOP candidates. And he is constantly beating the drum that conservatives and pro-lifers and right-to-lifers have to soften the rhetoric. And James White is vehemently opposed to that. And I thought he gave an excellent response to Sean Hannity.
I've been accused by leaders in the party here in Michigan in the past for having such a hard line stance on that particular topic, the topic of abortion, topic of life. enough so that I've had after Proposal 3 here in the state, which essentially enshrined abortion up to and after birth in the Michigan Constitution. It passed by an ungodly percentage. I couldn't believe it. But while things were sitting there in the legislature, I was watching this on YouTube. And as I saw particular legislators who are Republican or are conservative or whatever, voting in favor of these things, I was on my phone texting them, telling them, "I'm not going to forget this. You're going to hear from me in the future." Well, amen. I had someone come from the party to my office one day on a Friday when I was sitting here, and they wanted to sit down and talk about this. And the accusation that was leveled from all of these folks that I was laying into the very day that they're making these votes, was that I'm too much of a hardliner and I need to soften it. And the accusation or the finger in the chest kind of statement was, "Well, you know, Pastor Toma, if we were able to present to you a bill that eliminated 99.5% of all abortions, you still wouldn't vote for it because it doesn't get rid of 100. And my retort was that's insane. That's absolutely insane. Of course I would support something like that. If that is the best thing we've got out in front of us right now and it's possible, let's do it. Let's absolutely do it. But you can guarantee I'm going to be back in the fray pushing for that to get rid of that other 0.5%. I'm not out to lose ground here. We lost incredible ground here in Michigan when this got written into the Constitution. This is going to be incredibly difficult to turn around. It's going to take decades to do this. But what any party, any conservative effort needs to realize is that you got to get in this mix and you got to get in the game and you got to play hard. I'm the kind of person that I don't want to lose ground. If you're going to give me something that makes me step back or puts me on my heels, I'm not going to support you. But if you're going to give me something or put something in front of me that's going to continue to move that ball down the field, pushing for more and more and more, then I'm all about it. If it's 75%, great. If it's 80%, better. If it's 90, let's keep on moving. Let's keep on pushing it down the field. What happened in Michigan with Proposal 3 was we lost the whole football game. I mean, we laid down and let the team roll right over us.
I would like to ask those who are soft on abortion, who are so-called conservatives and Republicans, I would like to ask them if we could transport ourselves to the 1920s in Germany, and we saw that it appeared that the elections were going to be honestly held with integrity, with Adolf Hitler running for chancellor. How much accommodation would you give to the anti-Semites who were siding with Hitler? I think that might drive the topic home. It might, and I'm sure that they would refuse to answer the question. But I think that would be a parallel issue.
Well, I want to bring that back around for a second.
Sure.
How much time before the next break?
Because we have to go to the break in 4 minutes.
Well, maybe when we get back, we can go on a little bit further. 4 minutes is still a pretty good amount of time. But anyway, I would argue that right now we are in the middle of a Good Samaritan moment. We are in the Good Samaritan moment. And by that, I mean, you've got the story, the parable that the Lord tells about someone in desperate need, someone who is going to die unless someone helps them. And it's no accident that the Lord puts clergy into this parable. The priest walks by, sees the man dying, does nothing. He's got to get going. Well, why? Because he's got priestly things to do. He's got to prepare his sermons. He's got to get his Bible study together. He's got to blah, blah, blah. The Levite comes by, sees him there, walks by on the other side. Why? He's got Levitical things to do. He's got sacrifices to get together. He's got all this stuff. Okay. My argument is, pastors, and specifically the abortion issue, get in the game. For crying out loud, help the dying man. there's going to be time for getting your sermon together. There's going to be time for getting your Bible study together. But how about this? All the time that you're spending getting the Sunday school curriculum together, who cares about that if the ones who are going to benefit from it are being murdered before they can sit in your class? There will be time for the gospel to be preached and taught. That's the promise of Christ to his church. In the meantime, justice is required. If there is no justice, there is no love. And that's at the heart of that parable. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is something that we are not doing if we are not acting in a just way. And so I would argue, guys, get in the game. Preach, teach, talk, fight against this. In the end, if you don't, you're passing by on the other side.
Great. And let's see. We do have a listener in Lynchburg, Virginia. We have Todd in Lynchburg, Virginia. And Todd asks, to bring the issue back to something that hits home on a milder matter, what would your opinion be if the government begins to mandate the closing of churches again, the wearing of masks inside and out, when these things can disrupt the peace within a church and even prevent the ceremonies and the preaching of the gospel that the Lord commands us to continue to participate in?
The government cannot come in and do that. The government has no place to come in to a church and do these things. And one thing that I would argue, and this is what we did at Our Savior here in Heartland. The mandate, Gretchen Whitmer was Nazi-esque in the way that she handled lockdowns, masking, all of these things. I, as a pastor, if I'm going to maintain, according to the Ten Commandments, if I'm going to maintain there, I cannot do anything that puts a barrier between God's people and their God. I can't do that. I can't say to my people that they must wear a mask to be in the house of God. I cannot make any mandates like that. Can they wear one if they want to? Absolutely. But can I say to them, unless you're vaccinated, unless you're wearing a mask, you're not allowed to come in here? No, I can't do that. And why is that? Because you have to have a good grasp on the first three commandments. I'm coming at the commandments from the Lutheran perspective, you know, the first three rather than the first four. The first table, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the Shema, the summary, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbor unless you love God more. And you have you have that first commandment where God is chief, God is paramount. We have to listen to him, abide in him. If a pastor comes along and shuffles that all around and tells folks, well, you got to do this and this and this, and these things are apart from that third commandment, remembering the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, he is failing in his faithfulness and causing problems in the parish. Give people the option if they want to do it. That's perfectly fine. But you can't mandate it. You can't say they absolutely have to do that.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our midway break. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program, is compelled by the FCC to localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida, and they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things, while we, on the other hand, simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please respond to our advertisers using the contact information they provide in their commercials as often as possible. At least thank them for sponsoring the show. We cannot exist without their sponsorship, folks. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic,
Is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's Church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is experiencing a huge slump in sales lately, and I would really appreciate it if you would help them out by going to solid-ground-books.com today and purchasing the largest order that you could possibly afford, because keep in mind, solid-ground-books.com sponsors Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and we would hate for them to reach a point where they either have to postpone the continuation of their advertising or cancel it altogether out of necessity. And please keep in mind, when you're purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com, you're not only going to be doing them a favor, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, You're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish and bring back into print nothing but the very finest in Christian literature, dating back as far away as the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And by the way, for any of our Lutheran listeners or just those who love Luther from any denomination you're in, they are offering a huge discount on the commentaries of Martin Luther. They have both soft and hardcover sets available. So go to solid-ground-books.com today, purchase generously, and mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And before I return to Christopher I. Toma, my guest today, as we continue our discussion of matters of church and state, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or if it's just a special event you're having, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe, I would love for you to start an ad campaign with me. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always keep in mind, folks, as urgently and as desperately as we need your donations, I never want anybody in my audience giving their own church where they are a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us financially. Please never do that. Also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is clear about what to do with our finances, and they primarily should be used to providing for our church and our family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, then please share some of that money with us if you really want us to stick around. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I also want to remind all men in ministry leadership that I'm having my next biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County. My guest speaker will be Jeff Noblett, the senior pastor of Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard. Not only will you be getting free admission if you register, and free food, a free time of rest, relaxation, edification, and fellowship with colleagues in ministry, everybody there in attendance will receive a heavy sack, maybe even two heavy sacks, of free brand new books, personally selected by me, that have been donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. You can't beat that, so if you're able to get to Perry County, Pennsylvania on October 5th, I strongly urge you to be there. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line, and it's for all men in ministry leadership. And then finally, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church like Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church of Heartland, Michigan, well, no matter where in the world you live, I have extensive lists of churches spanning the globe and may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live, as I have done with many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience all over the world. Sometimes I've found churches just within a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you need a church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guest today, Pastor Christopher I. Toma. And we are discussing matters of church and state. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And Pastor Toma, You said that you might want to, and I hate to use a phrase that was made popular by Jen Psaki, but you said you wanted to circle back, I believe, to the discussion of abortion, or did you actually complete your statements on that?
Yeah, I think I completed it. I think we're good. While you're giving me a chance here, I want to say what a great operation you've got here, by the way. I'm really glad to be here with you, and the support that you have, and your reputation in the stratosphere is good. So I just want to commend you for your work.
Well, I praise God for that. And if you feel so inclined after the program, if you could write a little blurb that my webmaster can post on the website, I would love that.
I'd be happy to.
And you would be in good company with other Lutherans as well. Let's see. We have Garrett in Black Mountain, North Carolina. And Garrett asks, I hope that you don't mind me asking a question that's sort of off topic, but when you mention that you are a confessional church, are all Missouri Synod Lutheran congregations confessional?
No, they are not. Like most denominations, you've got a wide array of styles, if you want to say that. So if you were thinking of it on a spectrum in that sense, we are very, very conservative. Even in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you do have contemporary congregations in the sense that they have rock bands and, you know, stuff like that. I once told the folks in my congregation that I would be a corpse on the altar before that ever happened. So that's perfectly fine by them. That's our identity, and we hold to it. So, but not every Lutheran congregation, I think, could claim that. Not at least in the Missouri Synod, unfortunately, I should say.
Yes, I agree with you. There are many styles of worship. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. There are many styles of music that I enjoy that I would never want to be, quote, quote, performed in the congregation where I'm a member, including rock music. I must confess to the dismay of some of our listeners. Actually, you already know probably by listening to the music beds of some of the ads that I air, that I do enjoy a good electrical guitar solo and so forth, but I don't want it in the worship service. And I'm also firmly committed to the emphasis of congregational singing rather than being entertained and so on.
Well, I agree. In fact, I wrote the first book I ever wrote was called Feeding the Lambs, a worship primer for teachers of children. And that's its whole point. It's about how the historic rites and ceremonies are a wonderful trove of generous substance from God. And it's something worth embracing. In fact, and as a congregation, we see those as the best way, one of the best ways to carry that which Christ has given to his church up again through the centuries to us now and to continue it on. I heard in one of the advertisements, the bookstore is selling Luther's commentaries, his examinations of the various books. And it's interesting what he said about Ecclesiastes chapter 5, Ecclesiastes 5, and I think it's 1-3, where the Lord, through his prophet, says, guard your step, talking about worship, guard your steps when you go into the house of the Lord, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. And if you read Luther's comments on that, Luther says that the sacrifice of fools, which God forbids in his house, are the folks who are throwing their hands all over the place, making all kinds of racket, doing things that are more aligned with the culture than with what it is that God would mandate in his holy spaces, drawing attention to the self, making it about us, making it an anthropocentric thing rather than a Christocentric thing. So Luther really, I think, nails that there. And unfortunately, a lot of congregations, they really believe they have to sell the gospel rather than preach it. And they find that, I think you find it's hard to distinguish them from the world around us.
Yes. My friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries has said, what you win them with, you win them to.
Exactly.
And there are people who seem to think they can lure the world in by appealing to the world's tastes and then somehow play some kind of trick on them where they're going to hear and understand and believe the true gospel. And it's like a bait and switch operation going on.
And, exactly.
And I've also heard it said, if you hang sacks of goat food outside the windows of your church, you're going to attract goats, not sheep.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned before, too, in Germany, let's go back to Germany in 1920. It's interesting that it was the confessing church, mm-hmm. The church of guys like Bonhoeffer and those guys, the guys who held to exactly what it is that we're describing. Those were the churches that had the backbone and the substance and the verve, the viscera, for not rolling over in the flames of persecution. And interesting, Hitler, he spoke of, and now it's slipping my mind, the name of the counter, the cultural church there in Germany. He was asked, you know, what do we want to do with them? And he says, well, don't do anything with them. They're preaching the gospel, but they're not doing anything with it. They're trying to be like us. And he said, so he had a term for him. He called them mush. He said, that's the mush church. Hmm. It was the churches that confessed accordingly, that stood fast on that which was sacred and holy, they became the targets. They became the ones that Hitler had to get rid of because they had the ability to withstand him. And it proves true. You ended up with guys like Bonhoeffer, or Bonhoeffer, however folks want to pronounce it, who ended up going to the gallows in defense of the gospel.
Now, it is undisputed that Bonhoeffer was a courageous man who, for the sake of not only being an ambassador for Christ in the most dangerous area in the world at that time in the early 20th century, actually left the comfort of Manhattan, or the United States, to go back to Germany.
Right.
And, you know, he was involved in the plot to assassinate Hitler and all that. Everybody agrees he was a hero. There is disagreement over how we should view him theologically. And I don't know if you are thoroughly knowledgeable on him or not, but how much should we be concerned over his adoption of Karl Barth's theology? At least that's what I've heard, that he was neo-Orthodox in his approach to theology. How much should we be concerned about that when we revere Bonhoeffer as a hero?
Well, I don't know if... Yeah, I don't know if I'm the expert to speak to that, but I think you are onto something there. I think we should probably keep our wits about us based on that influence. Nevertheless, Bonhoeffer, for everything that he brought to us, there's far more to engage and far more to embrace there, I would argue, especially when it comes to, as I said before, the viscera for standing when standing is necessary. For, I think one way maybe to say it is to recognize the distinction of a church that actually does stand on something, that actually has, it does not have to sell itself. It does not have to try to be relevant because it already has the most relevant message that there ever was and ever will be, the gospel itself. And in that, if we sacrifice anything, we have nothing to lose except Christ himself. And so you have somebody like Bonhoeffer who comes along and paves a very clear path forward with regard to the necessity for that. So I'm not gonna get in between any of the Karl Barth's and the Bonhoeffer arguments, any of that stuff. Let that be what it is. But I think there's more to embrace from him than there is to put him away for. Unfortunately, you know, conservative Lutherans in America kind of wrote him off. You know, they gave him a hard time. And
was it because of the neo-orthodoxy?
It could be, I think. They thought there was too much of a blend there, but at the, you know, we find ourselves eating one another at very crucial moments in history, where some things don't necessarily need an explanation. You can stand there and you can look at it and say, what he is doing, what he's standing for, and the reason he went back from Manhattan, went back to Germany, is a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
He's willing to put himself there. He's pouring himself into it rather than running away when he could have. And why? Because there's a genuine gospel-driven love within this man to serve and support the people, but also, again, to be faithful, to mm-hmm. be a, as Bonhoeffer, I think, would say, to be a stick in the spoke of the wheel that's running over the helpless.
Yes.
He wanted to be someone who acted and someone who rose up to stop it. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I don't know if I coined the phrase. I'm the only person I've heard ever say it, but I call it confessional apathy. Believe it or not, I get attacked by more so by all of my confessional conservative pals than maybe the liberals
wow.
in my denomination. And the reason is because there is, going back to something we talked about before, this absolute separationist mentality amongst confessional conservative Lutherans, that our job is simply to preach and teach, to administer the word and sacrament, and that's it. Let God handle yes. the rest. I disagree. Yes, indeed, that's at the heart of what it is
right.
that we do. The gospel is the epicenter. However, when that's happening there in the church nave, in the sanctuary, it doesn't just get filtered out of you when you walk out the front door of the church. You have been recreated to be God's child in the world in which you live. So absolutely, it's important to not only preach and teach word and sacrament ministry, but also to preach the Christian life, to give folks, again, the tools to navigate out there in a very real world facing very real problems.
Yeah, and unfortunately, since you've been speaking about Germany, many of the Lutheran pastors or clergy and clergy from other denominations were taking that credo of our job is only to preach the word and administer the sacraments. They let that be an excuse to do nothing when the Nazis were overrunning the country.
And that exactly is what it is. It's an excuse. It's a fear that they were unwilling to do what was required of them in the broader scope, becoming soft antinomians in
yes.
a sense, if you want to use that term.
Yeah.
Guys who, preach the law, preach the gospel, let the gospel have the last word. Yes, indeed. But it's interesting how the gospel, again, retools us, recalibrates us to be God's people, to live in the world around us. So we can say, hey, the Lord loves you. He has forgiven you. He suffered and he died on the cross for your sins. Now go and sin no more. Go. The confessional apathetic folks will stop at that. He died on the cross to save you from your sins. You're saved. Leave it there. Well, it can carry further. And if you don't do that, you are in jeopardy of becoming a soft antinomian in many ways.
Well, you have probably stolen some of the thunder from one of our listeners who asks a question that's directly relevant to what you've been saying, but there's still some more you may want to add. LaTanya, I love that name, in Hollis, Queens, New York, was saying some very conservative ministers and churches from various denominations oppose pastors doing things like standing in front of abortion clinics to prevent women from murdering their babies and anything else that goes beyond the pale of their primary duties, such as preaching the gospel and teaching and counseling. What venues and what areas of involvement do you think that a minister of the gospel is free to conduct a ministry of being light and salt in a dark world that does not involve those traditional roles of a pastor inside the church?
Well, that's a vast expanse of opportunity that she's put out there. I appreciate that question. There's not a whole lot that comes to mind that a pastor, I don't think, can be involved in. One, he, of course, standing outside of an abortion clinic, that absolutely a Christian clergyman can go and stand there and proclaim the not only the law, excuse me, but also the gospel, the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation that we have in Christ, and do whatever we can to be the voice for the helpless and for the downtrodden. But there is also another side to this that I don't necessarily think a pastor is limited in his office, even as he's requested or asked by outside organizations to come and represent on a topic. So, for example, I will get asked on occasion to come and speak at a rally or speak at a conference or speak at something like that. I've been asked by the Michigan Republican Party to come and be a keynote speaker at their Mackinac conference. Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to get up and talk politics? I'll probably touch on some things like that. But what I am going to do is take this opportunity where I've been invited into an arena, and I am going to preach and teach. Well, I'm going to proclaim Christ crisply.
Amen.
I'm going to speak boldly with regard to what the Word of God says regarding all of the issues that we might be discussing, all of the issues that we might be confronting or facing. Absolutely, I'm going to take that opportunity. Now, I can almost guarantee, in fact, I could certify it. I could have someone come down and certify it for me, that I will get blasted by my own for doing that. I'll be called a syncretist. I'll be called all these different kinds of names. Stepping back and listening to those, I've got somewhat of a thick skin in that regard, but that's a misunderstanding, again, of terms. A syncretist, this is not an amalgamation of a whole bunch of different belief systems worshiping together. That's syncretism. I've been called into an opportunity for the cooperation in the externals, and I'm going to speak to those issues faithfully according to the Word of God. That's the privilege and the blessing I've been given, and I'm going to act on it. Pastors can do that kind of stuff. Now, why wouldn't they would be a better question. Well, I would argue, as we've sort of hinted to before, they're afraid. There's a fear there. Some of these fears of, you know, they don't understand the Johnson Amendment, you know, what they can or can't do. They're afraid of losing their 501c3 status. You know, the biggest fear they've got is the people in the pews, the people being upset or offended by what it is that they're preaching, teaching, and doing in that sense, that they leave, they transfer somewhere else. And when they leave, they take their dollars with them. One of the ways I think to help pastors, I may be going off on a tangent now, I'm following my own rabbit hole, is the folks like the questioner from Hollis in New York supporting these pastors, doing what they can behind the scenes to make sure that these guys know that they have people in the pews who understand that this is fundamental to their role, and they want to support them. They want them to know that they've got their back, and they're working in the congregation to convert and convince others to give this man the leeway, the flexibility to do his job in faithfulness to Christ and in love for the people in his care.
Thank you, LaTanya. We have Giovanna in the Bronx, New York. And Giovanna says, when you are involved in public activities, for instance, if you are requested to pray, will you always clearly pray in the name of Jesus Christ or give a generalized prayer to God?
I will never give a generalized prayer.
Amen.
And I'll give you, again, I should probably ask how much time we got. I'll give you an example.
Five minutes.
I was asked by the Michigan Senate to come and be the invocator. This happened years ago. And interestingly, I wrote out the prayer. And in this prayer, I was very clear. I spoke to the issues of abortion. I spoke to the issues of human sexuality. I spoke to all of these things very crisply. Well, I sent it in, and the Secretary of the Senate sent it back to me and said, you can't say any of these things. This is all this. you have to pray in a generic way, a general way. You can't be offensive to Muslims. You can't be offensive to anybody. You certainly can't talk about homosexuality or abortion. You can't talk about any of these things. And I drove pretty sturdily into these areas. I called, I called abortion the black water of whatever it was, of hell itself, you know. I got quite animated about it, but I tried to negotiate with him and said, well, you know, I'm a Christian pastor. I'm a Lutheran pastor. I should be able to preach in the name of Christ or pray in the name of Christ, et cetera, et cetera. No, this needs to be more in their word. Well, they didn't say it this way, but this is what they meant. It was more of a rah-rah, like, hey, we're supporting you. We're praying for you. Legislators, we're really proud that you're our legislators, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not proud of half of the folks in that chamber. Why would I even say that? Well, I negotiated back and forth for a little while. And eventually, I mean, every time I sent it to them, they sent it back to me with red. I mean, it was all X'd out. Well, I went in there the day to do it and had another conversation about it. And they gave me what was essentially going to be the approved copy. And I had my original, the first one that I had written in my pocket. Well, I had a choice to make. I walked out of the office and got in the elevator to go up to the chamber. And what I actually did was the copy that they gave me, the red marked up one, I folded it up and I stuck it in the rail of the elevator and I used the one I wrote.
Amen.
And let me tell you, it was, there were some fireworks. Now, I didn't do it to cause trouble, but I did it this way because I have a job to do. I was invited to come and be the invocator as a Christian pastor. I'm going to preach as a Christian, and I'm going to make sure, as I even ended the prayer, I ended the prayer through the merits of mediation of Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, I spoke to the Holy Trinity. And when I got down from the dais, I had plenty of folks, you know, that had plenty of things to say to me. But I wasn't concerned about that. And believe it or not, I've been invited back since.
Well, praise God.
Yeah. And by this effort, actually, the Senate Majority Leader, Mike Shirky, called me. And we were able to, because of this whole debacle between the two of us, we were able to set some rules for the Senate. So it actually, me standing firm actually changed the process in the Michigan Senate here. So now the only rules that could be imposed upon a preacher are that whatever he, or on a invocator, is you can't say anything that incites violence. And then I think, and you have to send the document in for pre-approval, but only for the sake of the record, the Senate record. Other than that, all other restrictions were taken off. So actually, if I'd have said to them, no, I'm not allowed to go and do this, all these other ungodly rules that were being imposed upon the invocators would still be there. But I took a chance, went in, and essentially fought the system, just did what was faithful, you know, and since then it has paved the way for other guys to come in and pray according to the tenets of their faith, which I think is a good thing.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our final break. Don't go away. Send in your question if you have one immediately, because we're running out of time very rapidly. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio
And I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd. The G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley.
faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
And I want to remind you folks, you've been hearing ads for the Historical Bible Society on this program every day. Don't forget that the founder and president of the Historical Bible Society is my very dear friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. If you or someone you love is the victim of a serious accident or medical malpractice, whatever state you live in, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please don't forget to mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In fact, I urge you to write down that number and website and stick it to your refrigerator door or somewhere else that you frequently look, because you never know when you may need that number, even if you don't need it now. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT and 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. We're now back with Christopher Toma My guest today, we've been discussing matters of church and state, and we have a question from Kennedy in Washington, Mississippi. And Kennedy says, there is a divide amongst right-to-life Christians. Some that commonly call themselves pro-lifers believe that a woman should never be convicted for the crime of murdering her baby. The others on the other side of the spectrum, who are typically called abolitionists, believe that we must criminalize this behavior or it will never be seen as murder. I was wondering if your guest stands on either of those sides.
That's a good question. I wonder the intent for the question and where the gospel would come into play there. If I've got somebody who is getting pregnant, is non-repentant, is continually murdering child after child after child, we've got some serious work to do there. And I wonder if prosecuting in that sense would be a good thing. However, on the other hand, I think there are more instances when it comes to someone who has had an abortion of the serious scarring mentally, physically that happens with them. And this is something that needs the church's gentleness, needs the gospel to be given in a way where the forgiveness of sins can win the day. I would land there. I haven't been somebody that's been pushing for the prosecution, but I have found myself teetering at the edge there sometimes when I run in, well, when I'm being spit on in Washington, D.C. by people in front of the Supreme Court and shouting at me that they've had 35 abortions. You know, those that can influence your perspective on this particular question.
Well, thank you, Kennedy. Continue listening to the program and spreading the word in Washington, Mississippi, and beyond. I want to make sure that you have several minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before I take the risk of going to another listener question and then having us run out of time. So if you could, summarize your primary thoughts here.
Well, my primary thoughts are that pastors, they do need to get engaged. And I wouldn't say that we don't need a whole bunch of all-stars. I'll say it that way. We don't need a whole bunch of all-stars. We don't need a whole bunch of MVPs. We need pastors who know the fundamentals and come to play the game hard. The other thing I would add too is that I would encourage the pastors not to be afraid to get engaged. And I would encourage the parishioners who are listening to this to do whatever they can to take time with their pastors to encourage them, to bolster them, to build them up, and to let them know that they're not alone, that they don't have to be afraid to speak the truth of God's word clearly, openly, and as eloquently as possible, not only in the pulpit, but in the public square, wherever they might find themselves.
Well, I guess we do have time to squeeze in one final question.
We could talk about my conference coming up too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Do that.
Yeah, we've got every year we have a Body of Christ in the Public Square conference, and ours is coming up on October 7th. Actually, this will be the 20th conference that we've held here at Our Savior over the past 10 years. This year, well, in the past, we've had, again, folks like folks that I've worked with before, folks like Ben Shapiro and Dennis Prager, Dinesh D'Souza, people like that. This year, Tim Ballard is coming. He's going to speak to child trafficking. Seth Dillon, the CEO of the Babylon Bee, will be speaking. Molly wow. Ziegler-Hemingway will be coming. Riley Gaines. She just wrote a very nice endorsement for my latest book, which just came out.
Which one is that?
She'll be here. The Cruciform Way. The third volume just came out last week, and the fourth volume is going to come out next week. It's a four volume series.
Wow.
I've got a writing disease. I really do. it's crazy. But then also, Seth Dillon, Molly is coming, Riley will be here, Tim Ballard will be here. Also, Dr. James Lindsay, he's a foremost expert on critical race theory. He'll be with us. And then I'll be giving a paper too that day. And I think that's about it.
Well,
it's a wonderful conference. It's a religious liberty conference, and we do what we can to teach folks how to navigate out there.
Would we find that information at your church website?
You will not find the link, only because we keep the link close to our vest for the sake of not having the crazy folks show up. But I can provide to you, Chris, and I suppose you could distribute it as you'd like. Or actually, you know what? Have folks send me an email. I'll get them into the system, and we'll make sure that they know the how to register.
Okay, great. And if anybody wants more details on that, you can send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And you can put in the subject line, Our Savior Lutheran Conference. And I'll get that.
Sounds good.
And if anybody wants more information about Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church in Heartland, Michigan, go to their website, which is oursaviorheartland.org, oursaviorheartland.org. And don't forget about Angels Portion Publishing, which publishes my guest books, angelsportion.com, angelsportion.com. I want to thank you so much for being such a superb guest. I eagerly look forward to frequent return visits from you. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Thank you.